Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Tracy Lords and Rob Riggle. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, licensed and bonded piano tuner, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, no choice but to get on mandate, get it in. On. Thanks for tuning in, thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. I want to thank Quicken Loans. You go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam and JB Weld. World's Strongest Bond, SimplySafe.com, and Castrol Edge. Loving these guys. Rob Riggle in studio. Good to see you, Rob.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We got lots to talk about with Rob. I got stuff to talk about, too. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. Big dude, angry dude, and he's yelling. That's me.
That's Rob.
Well, there's a lot to yell about. I get it.
There's a lot to yell about. All right, we finally, lots breaking in the Corolla world here. We got the some closure to a drop that is probably close to 20 years in the making. And it was a famous drop that, Engineer Anderson used to drop all the
Anderson.
Time.
Anderson?
Does it predate me?
I think it does, although you will remember the drop, but I feel like it was more of an Anderson thing than it was a Brian thing. And it was one that made me sound sort of hokey and corny and stupid, and it always bothered me. And then Anderson would always play it knowing it would bother me. And I always said to him, it's out of context. There's more context to it. It's pretty corny and sappy. And I just don't roll that way. Although if you talk long enough on the radio every night and you don't have a script, I suppose you could say something corny and sappy. But we'll play the drop as it was. Brian will remember it from February 2000, over 18 years ago. Here's the one that's Brian. And the Loveline fans remember it.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
Yeah. Right.
And I do remember that for years after that, that's the only drop you'd respond to, be like, that's out of context. Don't play that.
Well, it is what I said. It was not edited or cooked, but I said there's something more to it. I was doing something. I was,
of course.
I was out of context. I was making fun of somebody. I was
what does
doing
that feel
something.
Like?
That is not me.
I have an old song about yeah. that, Gina.
So I was like, there must be something else to it, but I couldn't really.
Do you remember where you were going with that? Or
I have no concept. We would sit there all night, blabber all night, and Anderson, Brian, whomever would grab these little things, and they'd play them some time later, and you have no real idea what was going on. Sure. At least I wouldn't. Drew didn't seem to have any recollection of it either.
That was all Anderson back in the day. I was a lowly call screener. Anderson was the engineer who would do all these sound effects. The one that I suggested for him that I was very proud of because it went on for many years. You were talking construction talk on Loveline on the Love Advice show that we had. He was talking about construction and carpentry, sure. And he was talking about something called a boring bit, which we would use a bit for a drill. To like, do boring, and I'm like, boring bit, get that drop, and Anderson got it. And every once in a while, then when you went on about something, boring bit.
Right. That didn't bother me. I felt that was clever, but this I felt I was misquoted.
Okay.
And it made me sound corny and sappy, and I didn't like it because it wasn't Dr. Laura we were trying to accomplish over there. And it always bothered me, but I never could find out what the origins of it were.
What the context was.
Yeah, it was before the digital world. You would literally had to go get tapes and go back and listen to them or something.
Yeah, the notion of like going back and checking was like, all right, well, dig through the archives. Physically dig through the archives.
And it would have never been labeled like this is the one that has the world as your oyster in it. So I moved on. Because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I do what Bob Seger does. I turn the page.
Is that a woman or a man?
Good song.
Great song.
So I turned the page and moved on. And 18 and a half years later, I get an email from Superfan Giovanni, who has the show, who stumbled across the show when he's doing all his archiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Susan.
The one guy who won't turn the page, Giovanni.
That's right. So he finds the origin of it and he plays it. And when you hear it, you still go, huh? But then you'll realize I was referring when I said that's all the world really is or something like that. I was talking about what I was talking about beforehand. So we'll play you the whole.
Oh, good.
We'll play you the whole thing now.
In context.
Finally put this baby to bed.
Finally put this in context.
Yeah. Thank you, Gio.
Thank you, Gio.
Listen, everybody. I don't know why in this country we don't put a premium on psychology. It is the biggest, most important thing you can do for your life, for your family, well, what have you. Hold on. I'm on a roll here.
We're going to create it in the media.
When you figure out how your life works, what your past was, how it permeates your life today, how it affects your decision-making today, the world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. Break it down. That's what it is.
Yeah, all it is psychology, but not your oyster.
That's why Anderson's an artist.
I know.
Just a bowl of cherries.
That's right.
Wow, though, I do feel fulfilled a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I have a much better picture of it.
So that's a piece of history for the Loveline fans that you finally
feel,
came
you should
across.
You feel good because you're not wrong.
I'm walking on a cloud. You saw me when I entered this place. My feet weren't touching the ground.
Now, Adam, no one knows how you feel better than I do. I don't know if you're familiar with this or if you've heard it, but do you know what Brian did to me?
Well, of course he's heard. You listen to our episodes
several times.
So you're familiar with the song that
Brian
created. Yeah, we're
going to do a sound. Yeah, but let's hear it again.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Let's give Rob a little context.
Let's give Rob a little context.
So I say things all the time that are taken out of context, but nobody cares. Brian lives for it. I'm quoting someone in a news story. I'm making a joke about something. I'm giving a for example.
Yeah. Naga, Brian, I assume.
Somebody's name. Mm-hmm. Brian collects them, and when he and I did the show together, when Adam went out of town, he surprised me with this little love letter.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anybody?
You didn't set this up with anybody?
No, I sent a text.
I thought Brian was going to play it. I'll pull it up.
No. Brian, I haven't heard this yet.
But yeah, I do have it.
It smacks of annoying little brother.
So, Gina, we were going to do this little thing where we retired one of Gina's out-of-context drops, you know, for fear that it would come up too often.
I wanted to drop the drop.
Yeah. And by the way, no one in this room built that thing at all. You're the one who has it.
No, I understand, but I wasn't notified that it was going to be played today. That said, so I was going through the drops that we have collected of Gina's over the years, and there were just too many, so I put it in a song.
Gina, you talk too fucking much. Smell your dick. Unrapeable. I have a really ugly voice, so people assume I'm super ugly. Pissy little cunt. L.A. face with an Oakland booty. Fuck you, you old cunt. Miss Bim Bim. Maybe they should change their name to Mall of Ragheadland. Nega, I assume. Would you like me to make banana cry? I love black cock. I didn't want to give you a BJ because I gave one to someone else earlier today. So what about NAMBLA? Yeah, I'm giving hand jobs in the men's room. A Klansman am I. I don't like seeing brown men with white women. That's just your garden variety Jew talk.
Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm okay in this room. I don't really love it, and I don't call you back. I like these stories.
Well, Nazis are sexier than hippies. I'll have a hard-boiled egg and a soft-boiled clitoris. You will watch my micro-penis, whether you like it or not. Penis, Baba. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. Laganja Estranja, Jiggly Caliente. El Gordo y la Flaca. Abrochado o Multado. Spicorama. Norris Hostfest. Nihao Kylon. Desmethyl Carbodenethyl. Reasons?
Don't care!
Would you like to see some nude photos of little girls? Eight pussies. I got a devil tattooed on one tit and an angel tattooed on another tit. I just don't swallow a lot. PCP and meth and Molly and alcohol and no sleep. Let's fuck on this. I'm going to stick my hand so far, my fist so far up your ass that you're going to have to... Fuck, never mind.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah, Brian Bishop, everyone.
So I understand is what I was saying. I get it.
Wow.
Those are all in context. She met every one of us.
I believe that was all in context.
I'm very hateful.
That was really delightful.
Wasn't it?
Oh, my God. We just lost all our advertisers.
I'm sure we did. It's been fun, guys.
Nice job, Brian.
Thanks.
Wow. How dare you compliment him on that.
Well, nice job, bud. You're going.
I just took the goal that Gina dropped.
Yep.
It pretty.
I had a very... double dad moment last week, which is I put a refrigerator in my garage, which is kind of a dad move, you know, kids, extra stuff piling up, blah, blah, blah. So I just put the fridge in the garage. I then sort of noticed that as I was pulling into the garage, my wife, who's in the garage, at least her car is more often than mine is, will take up a little bit more. She'll give herself a little more door room than she may need, which means I'm kind of slammed up against the wall. But now with the refrigerator, I got to get really tight. And I think I'm going to hit that edge of that refrigerator. So I did the move that officially catapulted me into daddom, which is I hung the tennis ball.
Yes, the tennis ball on the screen.
I grew up seeing that tennis ball hung in people's garages. It was a dad move.
I did it.
I hung the tennis ball.
I did it this year, as a matter of fact, because enough. We have a safe in the front. I smash into it every time. That's how I know I'm there. It's got to stop. So I hung the tennis ball finally.
I did the thing to see how close I could get my front end to the edge of a refrigerator without hitting it and blah, blah, blah. But either way, on Friday night, we left. We went and did a show. But at like 5-6 in the evening, it was really hot in the garage. It was really hot. But I said, I'm going to hang that thing. And I got the tennis ball and I poked a hole in it and I threaded it and I hung the twine from it. And I got it up and I put it up on a stick that was just hanging, a long dowel thing that was like hanging across multiple joists on the garage. So I was able to kind of move it around. So I hung it and I was like, slide it this way, slide it that way, but it didn't have to hold anything up. And there it was. And I got it right. Like I got in the car, I shut the garage door, I backed the car up so it was as far back as it could be without the garage door catching it. I got back in the car and nudged it this way, I moved a few angles that way. I got it perfect. And I was like, finally done and done. Yeah. And then we went and did the show on Friday night, and I pulled back in with a sense of anticipation at like midnight on Friday night. Like, I'm going to use that tennis ball, bitch. This is what it's for. And I hit the thing, and it went up. I was like, where's the tennis ball? And then I realized, oh, there's the stick that the tennis ball was on, and the tennis ball, it's on top of the fridge. Wow. I've been gone for 9 hours. Like, I set this thing up 6.5 hours ago, and it's all fucked up.
Undone.
It's all undone.
All your work.
And by the way, you couldn't
get a proactive move.
You couldn't get a Corolla family member to go to the garage if you took $100 and put it next to a tennis ball and put it in front of them on the same stick.
Yeah, this doesn't add up.
What? Yeah. I was like, what happened? I did this thing at 6 PM on a Friday. I came home at midnight on Friday. It was tied to the stick, and the stick was sitting on top of the refrigerator.
Now they take the initiative?
I don't even know what it was, though. Like, I'm going, like, So there's that thing you try to do when you're trying to think, you know, it's your first impulses of 9/11. Like, oh, man, those pilots were confused.
There's got to be a reasonable explanation.
Well, how could two of them be confused?
Yeah.
Must have been tired. Yeah. Like, you know, like your brain has to go to a sensible place.
There's something in the plane.
It can't be, I live with insane people. They're trying to make me kill myself.
Sure.
It has to be, there must be some reasonable, maybe there was some beacon or something in the Twin Towers that drew them. The navigation system was attracted to something on the 88th floor or something, right? Because you can't imagine that kind of evil. You can't imagine that kind of evil, and at least that kind of evil went up in the fire.
Yeah.
I got to live with that, my kind of evil. I'm going into the house with my kind of evil.
At least that was ideological, you know, based on religion and the way the world should be.
Yes, yeah. At least they had something. Yeah. This
is torturous.
This seems like pure evil to me.
A slow, maddening process where they're trying to convince you that you're insane.
Yes.
Yeah, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm just looking at it, and I see the entire, it was a big, so it was like a 1x2, 8-foot, like just trim, like some molding or whatever. I just had it stored up there, and I'm like, if I tie it to the front of this, I can move it forward, I can move it sideways, and it'll stay. I'm not going to ram it with my car, you know. And then the whole stick and the whole thing were on top of the refrigerator, ironically, that I was trying to avoid. I was like, what happened? But when I got home, it was too late. Everyone was conked out. I'd have to wait until the morning.
You didn't do a family emergency wake-up?
Yeah, you got to bang those trash cans.
I was talking like, get the pot and pan. Everybody out of the front.
Full Arlie Ermy and full metal jacket.
Totally.
Not a drill.
Not a drill. All hands on deck.
I was confused. And I was like, I was trying to think, like, who's in the garage anyway? What are they doing? It's hotter than shit in the garage. Why would they walk into the garage and then see my tennis ball and go, that's got to go.
That's got to be fixed.
They would know what it was. They would have some context, or at least be way too lazy to
fix
it. You know, just like moving on. And I was like, well, Olga could have been on there, and she was refilling the fridge, and it was by the door. I can't figure this out. I get a pretty good answer. A pretty good answer, which is, rare, but it was the rare answer was good, but the answer was good, but the instance was kind of weird, which is, I said to Lynette the next day, I said, what happened with my tennis ball and my stick? I didn't get one use out of it. Not one. I did it Friday night, and I came home later Friday night, and it was all fucked up.
Disassembled.
Like, usually, the over-under is 2.5 uses before the garage catches on fire or there's a bad divorce or something. She said it was weird. You know, she said, I was walking out of the garage or something, and for some reason, I opened the garage door. And obviously, my car was gone. And Phil, the 110-pound lab, who's normally just asleep on anything that's cool, spread out. Phil just stepped in the door, saw the hanging tennis ball, and went batshit on it.
Awesome!
And like attacked the tennis ball and pulled the stick down. Then it was just like, this stick almost hit Phil. This stick almost hit Phil. You know, and I was like, oh, okay.
He's like, did I win?
That's awesome.
Yeah, but he never goes into the garage ever, which is weird that just one time he opened the door and he just ran in there and attacked
it's
the
like
tennis ball.
It's like a shark gets a taste for human blood. Yeah. And I was like, what about, I missed this the whole time?
Yeah. I'm
taking
him to the Trader Joe's when he sees the old lady with the walker.
Yeah, with the
walker. He goes berserk on the walker now.
Valhalla takes off.
Are you sure she wasn't trained to do that?
He doesn't do anything. He literally, when it gets hot, he's worthless anyway. But I was standing in my son's bathroom, like, talking about putting a shower up, literally standing right in front of the tub, and he just walked right past me, climbed into the tub, and splayed out.
Because it's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Or there's a twister. All right. In the world of... so that I was satisfied by that story, but still I thought to myself, not one use did I get out of hanging this tennis ball.
So are you putting that idea completely to bed now because Phil can't be trusted?
No, I rehung it this morning because I realized he never goes into the garage. This is a freak occurrence.
Great.
There's this spray called Stink Something.
Yeah, like bitters, whatever.
Bitter, yeah, right. Or some bitter stink or stinky edge. I don't know. But our dog has been gnawing on the baseboards.
Right.
And so we've been spraying that on the baseboards, and she's not gnawing on them anymore. So maybe douse the ball in a little of that stinky bait.
He'll love it.
I think he like gets a running start. That's his thing, which it may stop stop him from a second pass, but that first pass. All right, Rob Riggle here. Tracy Lords coming in. Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana every Thursday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. And the show coming up, Rob Riggle's Ski Master Academy premieres Thursday, August 23rd on Sony Crackle. Talk about that in a couple of few, too. I had a sad conversation with my mom on Saturday.
You could just say conversation.
A conversation. But, it was, but you guys tell me. You guys tell me what you think. What you think of this. Because I think a lot of people, I would like to sort of, I've been trying to drill down on self-esteem and what that kind of means. Like, for instance, Dr. Drew has low self-esteem, but that doesn't mean he's not an overachiever, and that doesn't mean he's not a good guy. And as a matter of fact, it's a good thing if you want him to do something. That low self-esteem is actually helpful.
Yeah.
And it's
helpful
thing,
to you.
And there's this thing where the self-esteem movement's a fucking disaster. Like, we're going to infuse a bunch of kids with self-esteem. It's not earned. We're just going to graft it onto them. And there's, like, studies that kids that are do horrible in test math test scores have high self-esteem, and the kids that do well have low self-esteem. And it's, I'm not drawing a straight line from self-esteem to success or good. I don't think it works. I don't want my kids to have high self-esteem. I want them to whatever it is that Drew has. He knows his name is Dr. Drew. He knows he's a physician. He still doesn't have high self-esteem, but he understands his accomplishments. He understands he goes home to a big house.
You want to draw a line between confidence and self-esteem. Be confident in your abilities. Drew is a smart guy. He knows medicine. He can give advice.
Yeah.
All those things. He's confident in that, but self-esteem is a different thing.
And also, just telling people to feel good about themselves is never really going to work. You have to figure something out. So I was talking to my mom on Saturday, and I was explaining, I think too many people have too high self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I like people with low self-esteem. Her response to that was, I have low self-esteem. Why don't you like me? I said, I like Dr. Drew's kind of low self-esteem, where you do stuff for other people because you have low self-esteem, not I have low self-esteem, so I don't have to do anything for you because I have low self-esteem. So it's a different, there's a kind of a low self-esteem that I think people hide behind, almost like I have a bad back.
Right.
I can't help you move.
Right.
I'd like to help,
yeah.
You know, with the
I'm
back.
I'm no good.
I'm no good. So you're on your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But don't worry. I don't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Which is still net result. You get nothing.
Right.
But don't worry.
Yeah.
I don't like myself.
I hate myself for it.
I'll be in my room feeling bad about myself, not cooking you dinner.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
And my answer is sort of, well, if you're in your room and you're not cooking me dinner, I don't give a shit how you feel about yourself. I still don't get any pot roast.
Yeah.
And then you're just in your room. I much prefer the Dr. Drew version, which is I feel like shit. Therefore, when you tell him something like, hey, Dr. Drew, I got to go get a colonoscopy or something, you get like five phone
what
calls
can I do for you?
And you're okay,
yeah.
And what's going on, and let me get the doctor, you know, you get this sense of urgency almost because of his low self-esteem.
So what did you say to your mom?
It was kind of an uncomfortable position of a man.
Yeah. Holy cow. I want to hear how you navigated this.
I'll tell you in a second. First,
said,
I'll tell you.
What's that? You ran away?
Yeah.
There's
that's
an
what I would have done.
Hole in the wall.
God. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. That's what I'm talking about. Proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. America's favorite epoxy adhesive. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for 50 years plus. If you got a big or small project in your home, garage, workshop, craft room, I've been using JB Weld for years and years and years. You need strong, dependable, permanent adhesive strength. Should have used this to hang that tennis ball.
Yeah.
He'd be depleted.
Swinging.
He'd have sweated out 20 pounds, still be fighting that bad boy. Try JB Weld. They got a wide variety of epoxy, super glue, silicone products for repairing plastic, wood, metals, and more. Made in the U.S. of A. Tried all their products and recommend JB Weld to everyone. Like I said, I've been using this stuff for years. You can find them where you find other adhesives at Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, O'Reilly Advance Parts, Walmart, and Amazon. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. when my mom said, I have low self-esteem, how come you don't like me? I immediately launched into why I like Dr. Drew, which was...
Sweet.
Good.
So nice deflection.
I didn't really have to break that down.
Perry left, Perry right. Good.
Yeah.
Move.
And but it was a weird conversation. It was a weird response.
weird, you say.
I didn't deny it, but it was a sad discussion. But think about that for a second. And in its own way, I don't think my mom has low self-esteem. I think Dr. Drew has low self-esteem. That's why he wants to please you. I don't think my mom has low self-esteem. I think she has, in a weird way, I mean, there's depression and everything else, but there's a form of grandiosity of not doing anything for anyone or having them expect them to apologize or do like whatever, like constantly feed you when you're not doing anything. It's kind of a...
Is that narcissism?
You know,
shades of it?
When everything has to come
be
directed towards you?
My mom lives in a world where everyone does everything for her and she doesn't do anything for anyone else, but it's because she's broken. But I still don't think that's low self-esteem. Like, low self-esteem is worrying about what other people will think. You know, you know, that feeling of being late and feeling like, oh, shit, the person's just sitting there. They're probably waiting. They're confused. Yes. They're pissed. They're waiting on me. Like, Dr. Drew's never late, ever late, ever late, because I don't think he could tolerate you, like, being in the lobby of the hotel going, where is that dude? You know? Right. And then we know people that are late all the time, and they don't even seem to notice it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes, because my thing is if you're on time, you're late.
Well, that's a military thing.
Maybe, but
ironically, military and theater.
Yeah,
wow,
Drew.
Technical directors will yell that shit at you all the time.
It's true. We can.
That's a Drew thing too. Although I think I'm about the only person on the planet that just goes, I'll get there right at the time and I'll still be on time. And but it is a Drew thing, it is a military thing. That's how they think. You got to be early.
I had a very similar conversation to this, the on time thing and the self-conscious waiting on people thing, this morning with my wife, because we dropped off our daughter at daycare, and outside the daycare there's a sidewalk where there's room for three cars to fit comfortably, three cars to park, and we're the middle car.
End to end.
Yeah, three cars back to back, right in front of the sidewalk there. And we're the middle car, and we get to, we drop her off, we leave daycare, we get down there, and we arrive at our car, the middle car, at the same time as the guy in front of us, the front car. And as we get into our car, I notice there's one and now two cars lined up on the street waiting for those spots. And I'm like, oh, perfect timing. Good for these people. So we get in our car and I get turn the engine on and I'm waiting as the guy does the exact same thing. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting because she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm waiting for this guy to pull out so I can pull right behind him. Waiting. He's doing something on his phone. He's doing something. And now I'm like, panicked. Now I'm like, okay, put it in reverse. And now I got to wedge myself out of there. And she's like, why are you doing? I'm like, because I see people waiting. Yep. I know what they're feeling. I know what I'm feeling. What I'm feeling is they're waiting for me. And they're thinking, what's this guy doing?
They turn that parked car into a mobile office. Oh. And it drives me insane.
But yes. And the lack of awareness to realize there's two cars and probably more.
I can't take it.
Daycare.
That's the thing.
There's two cars and more coming for these spots.
Nothing puts me in a murderous rage anymore these days, really, except that.
Yeah.
Except when I'm creeping behind them as they walk to their car. They get in their car. They acknowledge me. Mm-hmm. They get in. There's no, you know, like I just know myself. Mm-hmm. When I go to the parking lot and there's cars on, I know I get in, I get out, I move, and I'll even go down the street or whatever, and then I'll handle some business. Because I'm trying to be efficient for the team here.
Right, because
when they sit there for minutes and minutes doing whatever they're doing, Bananka, just getting their phone set up, whatever they're doing.
70% of them are doing Bananka, Rob. Can't even be close to 100%.
It sends me into a rage. Nothing puts me into a rage these days except that.
Yep. I'm that way too. Situational awareness. If we would put that on that stupid freeway sign instead of clicking or ticket or slow for the cone zone, which is because someone in your car, which by the way, will now add gas to your fire, which is they'll go, I don't know why, but whoever's riding shotgun in my car becomes the lawyer for that person. Like, hey, they're probably buckling in their kids and they probably got some text. And I'm like, all right, first off, whose fucking side are you on? The person you've never met before and you'll never see again, who's preventing us from seeing our fucking movie at the mall? Or the guy who pays for the tickets for the mall and leases the car. So thank you. I know you have a strong allegiance, but we don't need you to get into the hypotheticals of what they're doing.
Yes.
I understand they're doing something. I've done it with my kids a million times where, like, throwing them in the car, I'll start backing out. They'll go like, Dad, the door's not shut. It's like, shut it.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
On you.
Let me get my seatbelt on. Like, get the seatbelt on when we're cruising through the parking structure, not while we're sitting here. This guy's waiting.
Yes.
The thing that drives me nuts is, you see people circling and circling and circling.
And the daycare drop-off. You know that's people trying to...
Oh, that... Well, daycare drop-off, again, it's a situational awareness. If you're in front... Now, once in a blue moon, there's a thing where it's like you're looking at your phone and you kind of pull over on like a side street and it's in front of your house and it's the middle of nowhere and some guy like tucks in behind you and then, and then you're like, oh yeah, go around. But that's not on you. Right. That's on a side street. That's in your neighborhood. That's you trying to answer something safely. Daycare at the Glendale Americana Mall during movie night on a on a Saturday night when the place is packed and everyone's just circling and circling looking for that spot. They bought their tickets online. It's now getting, they're cutting it closed. They better park. And so you see the guy get into the car and you'll follow the guy like walking. He'll get into the car. Now he's just in there for an unspecified amount of time.
Now he lives there.
And I never know what they're doing. What are they doing?
Banaka. It's all Banaka.
It's all Banaka.
It's gotta be Banaka.
I saw one guy do that once. And I was like, what? That's what I really, I think something inside me broke.
If I see that somebody spots me walk into that car, when I get in that car, I am doing like a Lamar start from the 60s. I jump in the car. I'm starting it as I'm closing the door, as I'm putting it in reverse.
I'm like, Johnny on the spot, too.
I am out of there. Yeah. Full speed racer. I don't even open the door. I go right through the window.
You
go dukes the hazard over the hood.
I need to revise one thing. I said that was the only thing that set me into a furious rage. I guess I was wrong. There's two things that set me into a furious rage. The parking lot jerk off, and then the left lane slow guy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not familiar with that.
Oh, I honestly don't understand. It's a very simple rule. I don't know if they teach it in driver's ed anymore.
It's one of the many things that could be up on the freeway sign that is not present on the freeway
sign. What I don't understand is when everybody pulls right up to their ass, they don't yield. They flash
the lights. The cars are going around.
100 signals.
Passing lane.
Horn. Lights. On your ass, it's a signal. Nope, they're ignoring it. Fuck you, I can do what I want. So you pull around, and as you go by them, you give them a hot one, you know, a hot bird, suck it in hell, and you go on. But everybody's doing that to them, and they're still, nope, not me. I don't have to. Why is everybody flipping me off? I'm the good guy. There's a reason everybody's flipping you off and leaning out the window and telling you to suck your own dong. It's because you're parked in the left lane and you can go smoke a turd in hell.
I want them to pull over to suck their own dong just to be on the record, number one.
Was that the guy from The Hangover?
Is there such a thing, Rob Riggle, is there such a thing, I put this to everyone, as a person in that left lane, because their whole thing is like, hey, posted speed limit's 55. Last time I checked, I was going 55 and a half. So you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the thing that would make us the most uncomfortable, they somehow get some sort of charge out of. You know what I mean? Like, I look at it the same way as I look at, like, serial killing, you know, which is the thing that I would not do the most gives them wood.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a small
sadistic charge.
A small portion of society gets off on doing
that. Sticking it to the man or sticking it to their fellow man.
Is there a person that's in that left lane who is getting what they want out of the rest of life? Meaning, you get to go up on stage, grab a microphone for 30 minutes and make people laugh. It's an hour and a half show. Yeah. But for 30 but for 30 of those minutes, obviously spread out. It's obviously not 30 in a row.
Who does 30 in a row?
He was massaging you with the right hand. It came around with the left.
I just thought of that horrible thing to say in the middle of it.
You get to get up on stage for an hour plus
yes,
and wow that audience and then walk off stage. You don't have that sort of hole in you, like, I need something from somebody. Is there somebody who's running a business who has grateful employees, a standing in society? You know, he's district selectman of Glendale, you know what I mean? Like, feeling good about himself. Right. Is there a he or she that's in that lane doing that? Someone whose loving cup is full from running their business or having their adoring family or being up on stage or whatever it is, that still will do that. I say no.
No, much like,
I think it's impossible.
Yeah, you've honed in on the guy who gets the dominatrix. He's not, you know, the guy who's getting his ass kicked to work, like you said, you know, working, you know,
he's the guy that's larger in charge.
He's the guy that's in charge. And he's filling something he's not getting. The person is not, this is not someone whose life is going fantastically. This is the one pet that can control all the cars behind them. And all
I think you can't have a positive life with negative thoughts, right? I mean, I think that's
like
that
dead clip.
Because that's all my
drop.
That's my drop.
Here's your Banaka Blast from Rob Riggle. Hey, kids. We'll call it the Banaka Blast. We'll get them to sponsor it. It's a quickie little quick hit of positivity.
Just a little nugget.
A little nugget of positivity. So, and now for this week's Banaka Blast with Rob Riggle. Rob?
Right now, somebody's standing on a bridge thinking about you. And they have the Carol Show turned up just loud enough they can hear it faintly. And they heard me say that.
Yeah.
And they're getting back in the car right now.
And so, getting into the left lane. And going to exactly the posted speed limit.
No, but I think positive, happy people do not end up in the left lane annoying others. I think they could end up in the left lane, but once they're given the business, they move over.
Right. Once the second you... We've all been there. Look, yeah. I've been in the left lane... The deal with the left lane is it should just be Germany Autobahn, which is I've been in the left lane going 85 and looked in my rear view and seeing a guy's going 105 coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I'm moving over because even though I'm going 20 over the posted, he's going 40 over the posted and this is his lane. Yeah. I got no problem with it.
Question for Rob about that. Mm. Rob, you're a Midwester. We went to the same high school.
Yes, we did.
So I'm curious if you feel that this is a Midwestern quality. I am very involved with hand signals, waves, thank yous,
so
roll down the window.
Acknowledgements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acknowledgements.
Give people a hot one. But like, but for positive reasons. And I've always attributed that to being from Kansas.
Yes.
Do you do that? Are you a waver?
I do believe in Midwest manners. I think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I watched my parents' friends. I watched my parents.
Me too.
Even my peers, when we were in high school, if someone let you in, you give them an acknowledgement, a friendly wave saying, thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah. And then you do it for the next guy.
More people
and
should do that.
It was kind of how the world worked in the 80s. It was a very, there were manners, and you did things that way. And you understood that, hey, now it's really an F you, me first. And if you didn't get in, that's your fault, sucker.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I'd like to, I feel like institute, but maybe it's a reinstitute. Another one that, all things that could be put up on that fucking electronic sign. Can we get the zipper going?
Oh, sure.
I think, I don't know, Max Pat, were you with us on, when we were leaving like the Quail and Laguna Seca or whatever, and we're like trying to get, and it's like, you get behind somebody and you're turning right, the traffic is like going straight, and it's like, it's a stop sign. It's like, okay, they went. Don't wave the next guy. Now you go, then he'll go, then you go. We'll all zipper in. Like, who's the person who just sits in front of you? Like, oh, just keep going. Like, no, they went.
It's not your
now,
right to
now
do that.
You make your way. Yeah. And here's the thing. You may be super conscientious and super friendly and have nowhere to go, or maybe you have a verbally abusive stepson that you don't want to get to, but I share none of that. I'm behind you, and I'm not reasonable, I'm not friendly, and I'd like to get fucking home. Yeah. So you're now putting me on your... you got a metronome where the weight on the top is made of cat shit, and it's hot.
I want to revise my thing. I'm up to three now, things that put me in a murderous rage. The traffic cop at a four-way stop, the fellow vehicle motorist who's doing this and doing that and waving everybody to... That's another one.
Yeah, I'm behind him. Like, can we all just zipper in? Let's all just go. You go. It'll be common knowledge. You go, then the next guy go. And if we can do it smoothly, it can be like the Ice Capades or something. And we'll all just move along instead of like, we're stopped for 100 years. Why? Because that person's not going anywhere in front. He's going to keep waving them by. Max Pata.
He was letting by trucks. So if he's letting them by, and then we got to turn behind, and now we're behind trucks too. Like,
just go.
It's not your place to let everyone in. In
front
just
of you.
Just get out there. Yeah. Just move. Put your nose in.
Yeah, you actually said something to him, and you guys had a pretty uncomfortable exchange.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Adam, you could solve Rob's problem real easily. He doesn't know your point go.
Oh, I figured out at the four-way stop that when you just flap your flipper at the guy, yeah, all that gets you is another limp hand back.
No, you go.
No, you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I figured out, do the point go. You point. You hit them with the point. Yeah. Then they go. They go every time.
It's more traffic. It's more traffic.
Yeah, it's official.
Yeah.
It's official.
I'll give you that.
All right. We'll do Rob's report in a second. Tracy Lords is here. I'll tell you first about Simply Safe, and we'll queue up the Riggle Report. First, Simply Safe, today's show is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Ever looked for a security system? It's complicated, expensive, terrible contract. Simply Safe, what home security should be. Great protection, ridiculously easy to use at a great price. We all use it here. Engineer, keep working during power outages, down Wi-Fi. Burglar, if a burglar smashes the keypad, it's still going to keep going. It's all out of the way. Super clean, aerodynamic, peel and stick, up in under an hour. No pulling wires, no drilling holes, no making a mess, no crawling around under the house. You'll never even notice it. You order Simply Safe security system today. Two eyes in there, Simply Safe. Is also going to donate one to a family in need, but you have to go to simplysafe.com/Adam. They'll give one to a family in need. That's good of them. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right, let's run the Riggle Report.
It's time for the Riggle Report.
Dang, that was sexy. I like that a lot. Well, on this week's apology tour, pitcher for the Braves, Sean Newcomb, went out and apologized on Sunday for a series of offensive tweets that he sent out when he was a teenager. He's now 25. But when he was a teenager, he had tweeted. So we're talking at least 7 years ago. I believe he's 25 now. I think these were
sent. Can you guys imagine all the tweets you would have sent out when you were 15 or 16?
Yeah.
Every single one of mine would have probably started with the word fag. And it would have been a reference to nothing. It would have been woven into every single. When I was in high school, yeah, every single tweet would have had the word fag in it.
I had pretty much one
Happy
thought
Thanksgiving
in high school at Shawnee Mission South, yeah, and that was girls.
Sure.
So all my tweets would have been Yeah.
See, mine would have been Riggle, not a fag. But either way, if you had that shit when I was 16, I would be crucified. Yep. Everyone. Right. Wouldn't everybody?
Yes.
Of course. Just the stupid stuff.
Well, it's a different standard, different time and everything. But this guy, when he was 18, sent out some stupid tweets, like an 18-year-old will. And now he's being held accountable. So he is he's going to have to go to diversity training. He's going to have to go to
so we can throw baseballs.
At
guys from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I don't. I truly. It's just one of those things. Where
what
like,
if?
Because it happened to James Gunn. You know the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2.
What if there's a situation where you're a pitcher? And you hit batters, but only black guys. Like, we were able to figure it out.
Advanced metrics, like, shows up a chart. Yeah. Like, oh, that's a troubling
yeah
trend.
Yeah, we get Bean in here on that's Moneyball. Right. And,
absolutely.
I know it's a troubling trend.
Here's the thing. These guys are jocks. They're jocks. And it's weird because now, you know, if you're Roseanne Barr's publicist and you have a time machine, you get to go, hey, sweetie, no more tweeting. Somebody's been nice enough to back up a second gravy train to your manor, yeah, and we're going to ride this one out for a few years. So
let's grab that phone.
Give me that phone. But now it's weird because you can't find 16 and 17-year-olds and tell them one day you're going to be in the big leagues because they're not going to be in the big leagues statistically. They're going to be working at Dairy Queen, and they're jocks.
And who cares?
Yes, and who cares?
Right.
Anyway, who is in charge of finding this stuff? I want to know who those people are.
Who takes it upon themselves?
It's the haters. It's the people that sit in their parents' basement, like you would imagine. Like, we always make fun of the people on social media that they have a bone to pick with someone. They're going to go dig up everything they can on you.
Did you say this? He apologized on Sunday?
Yes.
Because that's crazy, because I don't follow baseball that closely, but I was watching the game because he pitched against the Dodgers. He lost a no-hitter with two outs in the ninth inning. That day, on Sunday.
Well, I'm sure he was a little distracted.
Or was it Saturday? One of It was Sunday.
This broke during the game, right?
Yeah, it's so crazy. Apologized Sunday for a series of offensive tweets.
That's crazy. It's quite a coincidence.
I love that he asked that 10 sensitivity training. He's a baseball player. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't think your frontal lobe, but your frontal cortex is, they say it's formed, not fully formed until you're 26
anyway. You can't rent a car for that reason.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Remember the Braves pitcher?
John Rocker. That's right.
He'll see him in sensitivity training.
What happened?
Oh, my God. He was excellent.
I don't never heard of him.
He's the best.
He let it fly in an article in 2000. The year was 2000. It was that Subway series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he just went off about the F train, the one that runs out to Queens, out to the Met Stadium.
Okay.
And really just kind of went down the line.
Beaners, they got them all on that train. Like, it was awesome. Yeah.
It's like Danny McBride, he's bound and down.
That's what I was going to say. They basically based the character on John Rocker.
Got it.
More or less. Loosely based.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless. Well, and then, like we were talking about James
Gunn.
But,
you know, it's important that these guys apologize and get retrained, because, you know, I got a young son, and every other day it's like, you know, it's like John Rocker says, and I'm like, son, do not look at him.
Yes.
Yes.
Look away.
Like,
look
away. Cares for John Rocker. Yeah. Wait. Did we get Gunn back in with the petition, or how'd that work?
They're working on it, and the entire cast has now signed an open letter saying they support him. They don't support, obviously, the tweets that he made. I don't think anybody does, but, you know, they were made several years ago, and he's matured.
How about the people that want a good product?
How about
the people who want to go to a movie and watch this guy's work? Yep. How about us? Right?
You can sign the petition, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we vote with our dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to do it. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that little saga, but it's one of those things, too, where something he did many, many, many years ago is coming back. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if that's the new standard, where we all have to look back into our past 10 years, 20 years, we're all dead.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We're all dead.
Employable.
Well, I've always had a pretty consistent...
That can't be the new standard. It just can't be.
My standard's always been very consistent, which is, I want to know what your actions are. I don't want to know a couple things. The good or the bad. Like, if you're going online and you're writing jokes about groups of people, but you've never done anything to a group of people, I want to factor in the fact that you've never done anything about your stuff. And then for the good, if you're going to sit up there and grandstand and go, somebody's got to do something about these kids at the border. Get your ass to the border and bring some fucking blankets, douche.
Couldn't agree more.
Or shut the fuck up. So we go both ways. We go like, somebody's got to do something about this. And they don't do shit. They don't donate any money. Yeah. They don't donate any blankets or clothes or water or anything. They don't do anything. And then there's the other part, which is you say negative things, but you never do anything. Negative things. My thing is, like, if everyone's an arsonist, if everyone's an arsonist and no one ever lit a fire, then I don't care. I don't care, like, what's in your heart is an arsonist, but you never lit a match.
I know.
So, people, like, who cares? I don't care.
They want to control everything. People want to control everything.
Well, the argument is, you're inspiring others to be arsonists, I think, which is kind of a weird thing, which is you're making jokes and you've never done anything. Now, what I do want to know, I want to know if you've ever done anything to a group.
Uh-huh.
Like a LGBT community. Have you done anything to that group? I want to know.
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, but you have made jokes, then I'm not interested. And in all facets of life, I'm not interested in a guy who in his heart or in his mind is domestically abusing his wife, but he never put his hands on her. Like, that's a weird world to live in. Mm-hmm. That's a Tom Cruise movie. Like, we got to get to you before. Like, mm-hmm. I'm only interested in everyone's actions all the time. Yeah. Why do we have another standard?
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely hear you. And I don't know what the answer is to that. But I am up to four things now.
Okay.
Send me to a murderous rage. And one of them is the person who says, I'm upset, so someone has to do something about it.
Yeah.
But then they won't lift a finger.
Well, that's what we've talked about. That
pass a law. Make a rule. Yeah. Do something. Because I'm emotionally upset about it. You need to do something about it.
We've talked about this before, and Adam's absolutely right. If you're going to post something slacktivist on Facebook and accuse everyone else of wrongdoing, you have to go out and do something that day to make the world a better place, or else you are absolutely part of the problem.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Who's not part of the problem? Tesla. has a limited edition surfboard they've come out with now.
I saw this.
Okay, and it sold out in just one day. These things were going for about $1,500 a pop. On Saturday, there was only 200 available. They sold out by Sunday afternoon.
Ooh, rich man, poor man, surfing.
I mean, look,
either you've got no money or you got a ton of money and you sold your company and you retired early and now we're doing a commercial for Volvo and you're going to meet your grandson out there in Malibu.
Or you live with 15 guys in a studio by the beach.
So it's $1,500. It's a Tesla surfboard.
Yes. Wow. And I'm assuming anything with a Tesla name on it's got to be pretty good, right? Because they're branching off into everything now.
I assume, but I don't know what's good about
it
versus
makes the surfboard special
versus whatever. But how many units did they sell in a day? That's the question. Like selling out
200.
200.
200.
Limited edition.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting.
It's not bad. They did a test run for a weekend and it worked. So maybe they go with a bigger run. I would think the car market would be a higher higher profit margin, maybe, but I could be wrong. They're coming out with all kinds of new cars now. They got the S, the X, the 3, but they're dabbling now in surfboard world. And I'm dying to know what they're coming up with next.
You know the piece of technology I'm waiting on, and I think it's coming along, but what I want is so I got the fast charger in the garage, runs off the 240. Charge the car a lot faster than just a household current. But you still got to get out of the car. You still got to take this sort of dusty cable and you still got to plug it in. And there's still this little struggle to like undo it. There's always a little confusion. Like, is it letting me do it? Or like,
is there a lock?
There's a weird thing. Like, how hard do I pull on this? Because is it locked in or am I just not pulling on it enough? Or should I jiggle it or whatever it is? They're going to have a pullover charge plate where you just pull into your garage and it just charges under your car. Like it just picks it up. Yeah. I think there's
like
sort
your phone.
Of like a phone like version of that. Yeah. But I think you'll be able to pull in over this, you know, electrically heated up sort of, you know, cookie sheet or something and just pull in every night and get out of the car. And it'll know like when it's charged, when it's not charged, because it's always like that thing where did we plug it in that night or did we plug it in the night
before?
You
won't be able to have kids, but your car will be running sharp.
Yeah.
It's going to fry you, right? Something like that.
Oh, your semen will come out like mousse.
Yeah.
Just powdery mousse come out of
it. It'll discourage people from staying in their cars too long.
Yeah,
you know,
sitting there.
On the phone.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the charging station, that was the theory I was going to tell you about why the power keeps going out in our neighborhood. We were told that, first of all, we're on an old grid, and there's so many Teslas in my neighborhood, which is hilarious, and charging stations, that's the thing that's putting all the stress on this old power grid, is specifically the Tesla charging stations.
It makes sense. Everyone's got to get one of those Tesla battery pack things or something so you can run everything.
Oh, the whole home battery?
There's nothing worse than that power going out and you not getting your air conditioning, your TV, like whatever. Thank God.
I'm so glad California is spending all of their money on a bullet train to San Francisco and not a penny on our infrastructure, our power grid, or a couple desalinization plants on the coast so that you could pump the water into the highlands of California, which is 80% of our water is used for ag. But no, keep doing what you're doing. A bullet train would be.
We got this.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's adorable, Rob. Okay. By the way, do you know that
number five.
We're up to five.
It's not a bullet train, and it's going to like Modesto or something. It's not even going to San Francisco.
That's true.
It's an insane thing. I wish more people knew about or cared about or were upset about or something.
You need to listen to John and Ken more.
I have.
That's every day.
It's crazy. It's like, we need eight. Well, first thing they do is they go, we're going to build this thing. We're going to build it with private investors' money. And it's like, no, you're not, because it's a horrible idea and you can't get people from the private sector to invest in things where they don't get their fucking money back. So, no, it's not going to be paid for by the private sector. Good ideas. Elon Musk could probably raise, because you'll round of capital raising and do something for another surfboard, but you're not. This train is not a bullet train. It's not going anywhere anyone wants to go, and no one's ever going to get their money back because I can get on Southwest flight for $80 and get to the Bay Area. Yeah. So no, and then they go, well, we're going to get a bond, and it's going to cost this much, and then it's always triple the amount, and it's just weird how no one ever gets called out on it, and the same people are going, we got a homeless problem. We got a problem with the schools. We got an infrastructure situation. These bridges aren't safe. It's like, okay, let's get some of the useless money from the non-bullet train. Yes. Weird, right?
Yep.
Who? How does this work?
It's as if everybody's going to sleep. It's really amazing.
I get it, but what does Jerry Brown want? What does he think? He's going to be gone. We're never going to have the train. No one's ever going to ride the train. Like, it
steam train
even...
legacy.
All right. Sorry.
Well, here's another one that for the water cooler that you might enjoy, so you don't get too heavy with the politics. The crocodile. There's a man in Thailand who likes to do live crocodile shows, and he thought it was advisable to stick his entire arm down the throat of a crocodile, at which time the crocodile decided that's enough of that and chomped down on the gentleman's arm. Handler Tao, 45, who was performing a stunt in Thailand on Sunday afternoon, it did not rip his arm completely off.
Oh, then why are we talking about it?
Next.
I do not want to see this.
Next.
But you got to feel like even a crocodile that was the tamest, the nicest, and in the best mood would do that if somebody shoved their arm down
your
throat. Right?
You can't stick your arm down any animal's throat and expect a good result.
Yes.
It seems so
smart.
Now, if you want to dazzle the crowd, there's other ways to dazzle.
Yeah.
You know?
Get your dick out.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
That's a dazzle.
I mean, and then run around.
No, I'm talking about with the crocodile.
Yeah, with the crocodile in the pit. Run around naked.
Yeah, and crocodile that, rock for you. Why is this song called Crocodile Rock?
Is it the Crocodile Rock?
It sounds good.
I don't like this song.
I don't know, but if this music was playing and a naked man was running around a pit with crocodiles, with this playing, that might be the greatest show I would have ever seen.
Second only to Yakety Sax.
That was the second biggest hit they ever got. The biggest hit was do a thing called the Crocodile.
This song sucks.
I liked this song when I was like 9, I remember. Because every song that sounds like a 50s song, when you're a kid, sounds good. You just rip off the doo-wop-y kind of 50s vibe, and then when you get older, you move on to Daniel.
This is all tolerable.
Leave on.
Same album.
This is all almost tolerable until you get to the hook.
Yeah.
The whining.
All right. Speaking of whining, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Riggle.
Sorry. Yeah. It says here, though, one last thing with the gentleman, the 45-year-old gentleman who had his arm bit by the crocodile, will not be going to sensitivity training.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, he's in Thailand.
Like he'd have to.
I would assume that would be the next logical step, but he's not. So he's not going to be attending.
All right. We got an outro.
See you all in hell.
That was the Riggle Report.
All right. Ooh, Castrol Edge. Max Pata, fire up my Z car for a second. Get ready with that Z car.
It's ready.
I'm so excited. Castrol Edge. Heat friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob Riggle, your engine for maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Man, these engines are running hard. You need Castrol Edge. Is that to me? Am I good? Three times stronger fool against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. Oh, I fired up. So I got Newman's GT1 championship car from 1985. It's the first year he won the GT1 championship. And I've had this car for a million years in a million pieces. And this car hasn't been driven in 33 years. And Sunday, we fired it up and we're able to. It's going to Laguna Seca and it's going for the Rolex Historics in about 3.5 weeks. And I'm going to race Newman's GT1 car. So we're able to fire it up. You just give it a listen. It's only 20 seconds. But the car hasn't run in. I guess Newman's the last guy to drive it at Road Atlanta on the track to win his GT1 championship. And then we took it out on the screen.
Damn. Street legal.
Eh, not really.
Confused day laborers.
It's better on a Sunday, though. So you can go to amcrol.com if you want to see me drive. Yeah, that turbo kicks so goddamn hard when it gets above like 6,000 RPM. The turbo just goes berserk.
Nice.
Just great, crazy feeling of just being pinned in a seat. It just kicks so hard.
That's awesome.
Ah, fucking love that car. So if you guys want to come out, I think it's the 24th and 25th, Laguna Seca will be there. We'll do a car cast there. You guys can say hi. And everyone's real friendly. And we'll hang out. Go get that car back on the track after 33 GD years and $500,000 to rebuild it or more. I'm not keeping track.
Smart.
Oh, there he is. There's Newman in that car. Road Atlanta, 1985. Same car. Now, I had the body work off of it, but it just clips. Yeah. It just like clips on with these things called Zeus fasteners, which I enjoy. All right, Rob Riggle over here. You can check him out. Riggle's Pick. And every Thursday, Podcast One and after Podcast as well. And the show we'll be talking to you more about as it comes up. Rob Riggle's Ski Master Academy. Tracy Lord's going to be in studio. Us, Pasadena Ice House, coming up August 29th. And then the Moore Theater, before we set sail, the Moore Theater, September 13th. Went live up there with Adam Ray up on stage as well. AdamCarolla.com for all that good stuff. Take a quick break. We'll do good sports. Tracy Lord's next.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. Here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at AdamCarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Good sports.
It's time for a sports segment.
Good sports.
It's time for Ace and Dave.
Good sports.
It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, as you know, as all the world knows, anyone who's woke at least, knows that all over Football America, guys have the pads on out in the sweltering heat, getting prepared for the 2018 kickoff of the NFL season. Antonio Brown, a couple of weeks, most noteworthy perhaps, it's become an annual tradition in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, home of Arnie Palmer, not just the drink, but the man as well, and also Rolling Rock, if I'm not mistaken.
Old Latrobe, yeah.
Yeah. The green bottles that went through a weird fad across America. I don't know why Latrobe, PA's Rolling Rock beer caught on with the hipsters about a decade ago. Remember that?
Yeah, people... like not only drinking beer but lecturing other people about beer. But the clear bottle lets in more ambient sunlight, and the sunlight kills the yeast and the hop. So what they do is, I'm not drunk. This is one more minute I'm not drunk where you're giving a fucking dissertation on
beer.
We've
talked about this before. In the 21st century, more than it was it probably at any other point in man's recorded history, everybody now feels entitled to be super important. We always talk about everybody's the star of their own movie. And as you go through life, keep that in mind. You're not the leading man in anybody else's movie. And it makes me sad for the boring people. Like, wow, this is the most boring movie, and it's been going on for like 44 years. Poor you. That you're sitting through this, but everybody has to be essential, and therefore everybody has to be expert on something. And I think we have to draw the line as a society at beer experts. These people who sit around with, well, that's a hoppy, that's a extra hoppy beer. Like, yeah. Oh, shut up. Just drink your beer. By the way, I do want to tell you, I had visitors over at my home against my will, of course. I didn't ask. They weren't my visitors, but I was there.
Yeah, understand.
But we had some Endless Rant in the fridge.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, go ahead. Try one of those. Adam Carolla's brew. Big fan of yours as a performer. He tried the beer. Perhaps now outstripped as a brewer of beer, even your comedy work. Yeah.
Well,
delicious.
Go to Corolla Drinks and enjoy it.
Legitimately, I don't get paid for saying that. That's legit. It is truly delicious.
I thank you, and I thank your house guests
But I wanted to tell you, so Antonio Brown's thing is, the Steelers as a group, I guess, have started, it's become an annual thing, how they arrive for training camp, and all the curmudgeons. They get up on Mount Pius and tisk-tisk. This is why the Steelers don't win, because they're too busy showing up in helicopters and fancy cars. The Patriots don't do that.
Right.
Oh, shut up. Can we have fun with anything in the world anymore?
So the big deal is, it used to kind of be what car you rolled up
in. Well, yeah, people would rent cars and stuff.
And
it's a competition.
Now it's sort of evolved into a helicopter and also a tire, I'm guessing. You have to be dressed a certain way, right?
He just showed up in sweats, actually.
Vince
Williams, the linebacker, showed up in a Cold Stone Steve Austin kind of leather vest thing and everything.
Oh, Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I think he said Cold Stone.
Oh, I did.
That's an ice cream. Of course. Well, he can't wrestle on hot days. Well, why not? Cold Stone? He'll just be a puddle of cream.
Yeah.
And sugar. Yeah, Cold Stone. No, Cold Stone's good. Now, again, during
the
winter months.
He's no Olaf from Frozen. He knows who's singing, in summer. He knows that he'll melt out there. He's not going to take that.
Yeah. No, he's going to tag team with the Klondike twins.
Anyway, I thought that was
fun.
That's right. I forgot about that. Frusenglage. I have gotten a verbal commitment from our mutual pal, Matt Money Smith, that he will issue a Frusenglage at some point during the Los Angeles Chargers season. He is the voice of the Chargers.
I love it.
He's going to do that, but he also asked me to extend an invitation to you. He said, where's Ace been lately? And I said, what do you mean? I think he's around. They've been, I go in there and visit him weekly. And he said, no, on the radio show, me and Petros, we haven't seen him in a while. And I said, what? He just walks in the door and he said, yeah. That is what typically happens.
No, it's not what happens.
He's like, I'm available. I'll stop by. The point is, he wants you to stop by. Just walk in unannounced at any point.
I shall. What floor are they on? You got to have somebody get you.
That's what I say. I don't like that bogus non-invite
card.
What the hell? Just stop by.
Elevator won't go to his floor, or you can't get out of the elevator.
I want to start pulling that bit on people. People say, like, yeah, stop by anytime. I want to show up an hour and a half after they extend the invitation. I just want to start showing up at people's door. Well, you said anytime, and, hey.
Well, I love Matt and I love Petros, but they invite me and then I get booked and then I come on because their segment producer guy has to meet me down in the lobby. Otherwise, you can't get up the elevator.
Shenanigans are afoot here.
Mm-hmm.
Ace, are you excited though? Are you feeling it? Or is it hard to get into? To me, all the indications and all these training camp stories that you hear about and all the hokum about. I mean, a fascinating one in the 21st century is the Baltimore Ravens took Lamar Jackson, the Heisman-winning quarterback from Louisville, and they still have the incumbent Joe Flacco. And everybody carries on like, no, this is Joe's job. Joe's the quarterback of our team. He was the first. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is going to take over for him at some point, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. I love these storylines that we have to indulge for a month. I always say it. I don't watch preseason football because all it does is lie to your eyes. It makes you think guys are better than they are. The guys who are starters don't really try. They just want to get off the field as quickly as possible.
Well, I got to tell you, if this means Hard Knocks is coming back soon, I am completely
down. The Browns!
Down.
Can you imagine? It's a dream.
It's the greatest show on TV. It's the greatest cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need narration. If it's hot, nobody does a better job of showing the sun than showing the 370-pound black guy in slow motion squirting the water on his head. You literally think about how that show is shot. If they need to illustrate hot, or they need to illustrate cold, or they need to illustrate this guy's making the team and now he's not making the team, nobody does a better job of pulling you in a different direction and really making it sing like that show.
It's coming up, and I dare say, off the top of my head, correct me if I'm wrong, is there a better reality show in the last quarter century? Or I guess reality shows didn't exist before then. So to me, obviously we enjoy football, but it's so fascinating, the human drama of guys trying to catch on in that moment where they get called into the coaches or the owner's office to get kicked off the team and everything. It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah. It's great. It's always like four episodes or something, right? Like
I think that's right.
It's the greatest reality show in a short format, I would say. You know, five episodes. So says Garen. So says Damashek as well. It feels like, oh, I'm always like wanting more. I'm always like, what's the next? What's the next one? I feel like in a category like they have for short films, they would win the Oscar every single
year.
Yeah, it's
weird. Why don't they get Emmy nominee? Or maybe they do, and I'm not aware of it.
I have figured out, and we can tell. I mean, now we know NFL films has won plenty of Emmys. Starts a week from today, so scary. And we can look into the Emmys. I can tell you that the Oscars and Sundance and the Emmys have turned into some sort of weird feel-good sort of hipster club that sports is not really on their menu anymore. It's funny. I was looking. I'll give you an example. I have my theory about Rotten Tomatoes, which is like anything that's violent or that Clint Eastwood directs or whatever, you can shave off like 20 points. And if it's a point about, oh, she's a woman of color, had to overcome with the lesbianism and missing the leg and blah, 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 they'll just go right to the top. Like they love all.
Well, you're guaranteed an Oscar just about if you play somebody with an infirmity. A physical infirmity.
That helps.
Right.
But now there's a lot of gender and sexual proclivities and everything else. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes the other day, and they had a movie, and at the bottom, sitting up, I was like, coming out next week, and it said McQueen, 100%. And I was like, I love Steve McQueen. He likes racing. Is this another doc about him racing? 100% on a car thing? Because they don't like cars either. They don't like car stuff. They don't like sports stuff. They like transgender stuff.
Well, Cannonball Run won the Oscar back in '80.
But two proves the rule.
Two
was snub.
I take it back.
Two was snub.
Right.
So McQueen, and I was like, oh, I'm in. 100%. They don't like car shows. I went to the read the description. Gay fashion designer Bob McQueen. And I was like, oh. Of course we're at 100%.
That's worse than when you, I'm trying to think, there's the Gladiator movie, and then when you go into Gladiator, oh, it's not that Gladiator.
Alexander McQueen, so says Dylan. That was a test, Bucko, and you're out.
That was false.
Wait, Gary knew? Gary, how do you know who Alexander McQueen is?
Well, he's a fashionista. Look at him.
I looked it up.
All right. I guess if I was a gay guy trying to be straight.
Ace, that's a false positive you got, but tell us about something true.
I will. All right.
I looked it up. No one's judging.
No one's judging here. I'll break the tension by telling you about True Car, man. Take that weight out of your car. Put some air in your tires and learn how to change that spare. Lift the lid in the trunk and take a little look at what's under there. Because you break down at night by the side of a highway, man, you're going to know what you're doing. Here's another tip you may not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. A simpler buying experience, whether you're buying new or used. See what other people paid. Know what you're getting. Get that deal. Lock it in. Enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, you check it out at True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. So let's get going with some True Car. Save some time. Save some money. Hey, Gary, find the description of the movie for McQueen. We'll do it on the next show, but
I've got it right here.
It'll make you laugh because I thought I was
and also,
a documentary about cars.
And Gary, you still stand by the Autumn 11 line that Alexander McQueen put out as your favorite of his?
I looked it up.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of all this on tomorrow's Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good Sports.